the dream catcher method of communicating here, if we want to consider this talking circle, and maybe you can guide us a little bit on how to go about that.
How much time do we have?
Half an hour.
Okay. And what do you want to do?
Well, I think we would like to comment on the presentation that you've just made. And bring it into our common context, whatever that is, which means to allow everyone to reflect on it from their particular standpoint, maybe raise questions if they want to. And in general, our goal here, as I said, is to try to think integrally. And so there are psychological dimensions and philosophical dimensions and sociological dimensions of this model that you put up that haven't been given space in the context. And what she introduced, what Mona introduced before, was much more of the process of your group, which is a good process, I think. We can use that process. And so let's, look, why don't we just try having a sharing circle. Yeah.
Do you want responses?
Yeah. No,
it looks it can either be question and answers, but it can also, I don't know if people just want to express what they feel.
I think other people can also answer some of these.
Of course,
like
sure.
That, not just
of course.
And then we all become one group instead of...
Yeah.
I felt to answer to that, actually, that was my mind coming here. I felt to add to your presentation more personal observations I had. The effect was on me, because I know from our political meetings in our normal group districts, there are time pressure, there are goal pressure, there are personal pressures, there are dominances, there are all sorts of things where you work under pressure. And some people can be very creative under pressure. But in the dream catchers, just the opposite. That the thing is coming out of silence, no pressure at all. You're opening yourself up, and that's a simple thing actually. Your question how to do that is, I found it's very simple, it seems. You just go into silence, you let the things come out of silence and not out of noise. And inner wantings and and pullings and pushings, and then amazing things are coming out of your hidden knowledge, or from wherever, how you ever call that. And this is allowed because each one has his own space, allowed to find his own comportement, yeah, to let it come out freely and without this thing. No? And even now when I put my finger up, I didn't want it actually, because I find this other process so much more conducive to that process. And then the whole meditative mood in general, and in the morning between 6 and 8, of course, this is a method which is conducive for this visionary part. When it comes down to more doing, then other methods may be more conducive. Mm. So it's depending on which level you are working.
Yeah.
But this level in all of it in general is very, very little cultivated, if at all. Yeah. In particular, not in groups.
I remember that we once, a year ago, we met first to the management here. Not as a group, because it's not, not as a group. Individually, but actually we were there as a group. And then came here and talked about then the idea about the vision of the university. And remember the different quality of the talk we had. It was totally different from a normal meeting or brainstorming, because it was really a good feel when people talked, they were just sort of translating what they had received in a meditative state of mind, and then to bring this down on a mental or conceptual level, and as well as once as we did an exercise with us.
Mm.
Like, I thought it was 20 minutes, but actually it was an hour or something.
It was 2 hours.
Or 2 hours, yeah. And then we shared, and as well, the difference of quality, the way from where you think, from where you talk, from where you know, how you perceive things. Because then we come in a state of mind where we know that all concepts, all words we use are, in a way, used concepts, used words, and that in a way we feel awkward reusing them, because we would use them in a new, fresh sense, like in the first time you speak. And I think this is a wonderful exercise to be in this kind of consciousness, and then to communicate and to co-create and synergize. Something I feel is very important for us for the future of the way we want to work in the universe.
I've been fascinated by the way you presented it, your being, your inner silence, and certainly you must be very extraordinary people getting up before 6. And you know that all monks around this planet, no, it's not the truth, all monks around the planet get up very early because this energy is very powerful in the morning. To the special people. And you know, in one African language, dream means meaning of life. It's beautiful. So behind that is the meaning of life you have been searching for. Everyone looks for it, but here in a very special way. Thank you very much.
Now, what I wanted to mention, which impressed me in your presentation, one of was the process you described, to give the check in that everybody takes the talking ball and is present in the group. And I think in this group sometimes I miss to have everybody's presence. Maybe in a few words only, there are people we don't know, people who come in newly, people who have different expectations or different feelings and different points of where they are at the moment. And I think this would make better the quality of communication here, and bring in the quality of everybody who's here. And I think that would be a very good thing, maybe to introduce us here in this group. And again, the check out that everybody has the possibility to give a comment, about his process and about the process he saw in the group emerge.
Shall we do a session? I don't know. Shall we just...
When you asked me at the beginning to sort of suggest how we do it, it's like, we never had this many people in a dream catching session.
Yeah.
And I was actually, and also the dream catching session is only 2 hours and not 1 hour, so we've got less time and more people. So I was a bit, I was going to suggest either you just do one round, because I tell you, in all these very tedious speeds,
yeah,
your hour's gone.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Yeah. That's what that will be. There's no then time to jump through. Or if you want more question and answers, then that's another approach.
Maybe we could have a question which may be burning for this, whatever you've explored till now, and you would like that to be explored, and then we can have a dream like a check-in just on that particular question, if there is anything more.
And that was, yeah, my question was, when you do a session and you have a sitting at 6 o'clock in the morning in a place, is that more or less the focus for the group that's meeting? So that also is a difference. It's not just a matter of everybody checking in. There's actually a focus, a point of focus. The environment, the possibility of the emergence of structure, perhaps.
Yeah, we choose the location based on the topic.
Okay.
It can also go the other way around, but it's usually we have a topic, and then we choose a location accordingly.
And what would how would you choose the topic?
At the very beginning, it was popcorn fashion. We would just it was more just like, yeah, okay, then somebody said, okay, let's meet on the roof of Sabitribhavan. So we went and met on the roof of Sabitribhavan, and we went, just saw what came by sitting on the roof of Sabitribhavan. Then, as we got more and more ideas, we really just had a whole panoply of different parameters, and then we sat together and felt, well, if we want to start, as Mona explained in the presentation, if we wanted to start to present some of these ideas, how do we go about that, and how do we choose to address the planning issues of Oroville? Of course, there's so many hot potatoes in Oroville that you don't necessarily want to pick up so quickly. We felt, okay, entrance to Oroville felt like a fairly calm, unexcitable time. Interest in thinking, well, how would I like to enter Oroville? But without saying, no, but not like that. We actually, by default, sort of said, well, okay, let's start at the entrance and we slowly move in. So, and after doing the entrance dream space, we also felt that there was such a pull to look at mobility or the crown. We were all so excited about some of the ideas we were coming up with. But again, it was the sense of, well, let's integrate the greenbelt. Once we come in through the entrance, because we were clearly saying the entrance has to be at the greenbelt and not just at the edge of the city area. And we said, we don't integrate the greenbelt now, when do we integrate it? So by then, we stepped further into it, because the green dream space. And after that, we started to say, well, once you get to then the edge of the city, the next thing to answer is mobility. How do we move around from there? So we then looked at mobility. And we've been looking to do a dream space on mobility, but haven't had the critical mass of time and energy and people to put it together. Everything's there to do. It just needs to be put together and presented. And in the meantime, we started a topic of temple for living in, which came out of the whole 100 years ago, Corbusier had his machine for living in. So we just spun that on its head. We don't want to live in machines, we want to live in temples. So
the trick with the entry for me was always, other than to concentrate marginally at first, could have been also an approach. By pondering about entry, you have to ponder about all of it as a whole. Because what are you entering? Because this is not clear for many people. Definitely not broken down into life structures, etc., or realities. And that I found very striking, that entry makes you think, so what is all before? What do you enter? What is so special? Sorry, that was such a thing.
And what I found so striking that I couldn't resist clapping was that you've taken up the greenbelt, that you really integrated it to such a point that you actually made it the basis of your plan for the Crown Place. That, I mean, anything you said after that would have been okay. Everything you said after was okay, it was really more than okay anyway. But that is such an honoring of the process that we've actually been through in Oroville. Of course, I'm one of the ones that did it. So it's also, I mean, just like you said, when are you going to integrate it if you don't integrate it in the beginning? Of course it has to be there in the beginning. And that presentation of Crown Release that included that first just really, really wins. I hope that many, many, many more Oroviliens will see it and come out for it, because I'm sure that that's right.
I enjoyed very much the presentation because I felt it's not the patronizing way of planning, but more a participative way of doing things. And that's what I feel Oroville should be about. I feel that if we can keep this idea of everybody participating in the decision process until the end, until the implementation, then we would really get a step forward in planning and in also acting. And do you see that this way of planning things can be implemented in a general way, or do you feel?
I would just like to say that my question or my comment to, I feel like I'd like to know something about your experience of it. Is this way of understanding of this dream catching knowledge, this dream catching way of receiving knowledge, how does it apply? How does it work?
I think it's because we didn't set out with anything. It's just immediate. So it's something that is so organic. Both in, I think this making individual creative leaps, that for me was like something that started becoming very important, because I realized that in this forum, it just allows you a safe space and you kind of feel supported. You know, I don't know, as an architect, when you're doing things in order, there are so many questions, there's so many oppositions, so many different viewpoints. And this is one forum where I felt that it supports this inner process. And it makes it clear. But it happened, I cannot say because of this or that or that. Or, and I experienced it when we did the studio together, and you know, it came like this, and I started organizing it. I knew that I would have this, you know, possibility to meet with different people from the dream catching and introducing this. And then when it was a process, and only when I looked back, I realized I could only have done it because I had this support in the back. And it's something that you almost feel like you feel that you have to do something because you feel called for it, and it just happens. And then only when you look back, you realize where the strength or the idea or the engine, you know. So it's something which is growing. It's not something which you do mentally. It's not. That's the thing. It's difficult to pinpoint to one. Like now, Peter feels very strongly for organization. I mean, it's not like I don't feel particularly any that I have to. But then I go there in the mornings and I listen and I'm just listening, and then sometimes something comes which I hadn't thought of before in myself. And then it's like it's a process that sets the ball rolling, and you don't actually know where you're going. You know? And Netsa is very important that even a guest who comes for one ring catching session is given the responsibility, the respect, and the same equal platform. It's not that, you know, there's nobody who is sitting there chairing this session, or there's nobody who's saying, you know, this is the right way. The only thing we have is this meditation and this little chanting, but each one has, I know, and it's happened that, you know, somebody just came for a session and just gave the right thing that happened. And especially when we did the dream spaces, it was very evident, you know, somebody would come and they may just come for one session, but they still bring something of that, just that right ingredient that changes everything. So that's so beautiful, because then you start seeing that you're not just individual, but you're collectively so much connected.
It works on the ego on many different levels.
Yeah.
Because I mean, there's one thing I've noticed in Auroville over the years, whenever we have a general meeting or something like that, is often you'll get a certain person saying something, and sometimes the person puts their hand up and you know what they're going to say because they have this thing that they hold dearly and they need to express it, and there's so little opportunity in Auroville to express ourselves collectively. So if we have these dream capture sessions, there's a certain patience and perseverance required to just move through that. There's a if it's on a particular topic, you know, I myself will come and I'll say, look, we have to remember this. Mm. And after you said it 3 or 4 times, I'm like, okay, I said it. And you know everybody's somehow going through that a little bit. And even on a sort of this egoic level of like, oh, now I want to say this, you get this idea, I want to share this. So you grab the ball and you share it and you put the ball back. And you just, sometimes people come and then they don't come again, and I ask them a bit later, was it not for you? And of course, this usual response can be, I don't know, 6 o'clock is not my time. which I can understand. But there's also saying, well, there doesn't always seem to be a lot happening. You know? But that's part, actually, in my experience, it's the insight I got some time ago, was that that's actually part of this shedding of a certain layer of the ego that then allows the space for the collective aha. We've all had experiences of an individual aha, but those moments in Dreamcatchers where I've experienced a collective aha just sends a shiver down my spine, because it's gone through a certain number of, and in fact, Mona said, you don't even necessarily know where you're going. You don't know what you're waiting for, but at the point where we were looking for a sense of, okay, with this entrance dream space and trying to come with a certain synthesis of what all the ideas that we come up with. And then one morning, sitting next to the road on New Creation Corner, and it just came.
When you least expect it.
Well, of course you don't expect it. But it's this pretty. That's what I say about perseverance and patience, of just going and sitting and being and not expecting and being bored and saying, okay, I'm bored. Whatever, but just come again and again and again. Because some people interestingly said, no, dream catching's not for me, I'll come to the dream weaving, which we have in the afternoons, each week we do on a certain afternoon, to consolidate and weave the ideas and put the dream space together. But there can be something missing there. I've seen it. If someone's not come regularly to the dream catching sessions, it's not to say they don't bring anything, but there's a qualitative different energy to it.
I'm wondering if we might plan to do such an exercise with respect to the international zone. If it's time to do that.
Today?
No.
40 minutes.
No,
what? 6 a.m.
Today we're not doing anything very
six
deliberate. But, you know, as I said at the beginning, before your presentation, one of the reasons why we have thought it would be good to interact is because we need to, or we haven't sometimes felt the need to find an approach to this question of the international zone. And to bring that, to open that, to bring that into an open space. And so then we thought, if your methodology could perhaps be applied by us to that question, then we might learn something collectively about this international zone. What it is, what it means, what it can be, how it fits into the question that Peter raised about why we're here, what is Auroville, and maybe also lead to some inspiration regarding its manifestation. You know, I think that your presentation of the Crown development concept has reached the point where it could really impact development. But that takes time, as you must know. and so that's my question. Could a process be initiated with regard to the international zone that would be meaningful and productive?
Yeah, let me say something to that, because I was asked for the next Saturday eventually to do some presentation on the international zone development, so it's fully, to the extent possible, all around the fraudulent understanding. But I wonder now if maybe there's a pre-exercise possible before that or after that, one or the other, because personally, I'm also a bit tired of all the formations which we have produced over the years on the international zone. And I have myself questions in that regard. And lots has been done in this room here, in the Key Pavilion, on that topic. And always fall down flat on its nose, as it looks. and indeed, I feel this topic is after Matrimandi and university the next one. Very strongly on the agenda, or should be on the agenda of our collective consciousness or longings. So I'm asking this question myself.
I've been very impressed, of course, by the presentation. Because, as you say, it doesn't give the common denominator, but the common highest factor. And that, I was surprised myself that those dreams require a shape, and you manage to give shape to something which was very foggy in my mind. So that's the first thing. The second thing, I would like to reply to this thing of international zone. I have never been involved in it yet. I would like to remind you all that there is a pressing need now of housing. And because of that, we witness and we saw that the meeting 10 days ago, where we were presented the housing in the near the road. So I would say it's fine to, there is no such, let's say, such a hurry for the international zone, it can be a few weeks. But there is something happening now, you see, full speed of occupying the land and a big chunk of our land by very mediocre projects. So maybe there is no way back, no way to pedal back. Yet, I believe that there will be such an exercise, a creative exercise, to look really in this problem of housing. Two or three types, housing for Orbian, housing for newcomers, housing for tourists or visitors. I think it's a very pressing need. Otherwise, we might be sitting here, and by the time we find a plan for the international zone of the Crown, there is no more land available. So I would like just to emphasize that there are two different speeds, and I was totally destroyed after the meeting of 10 days ago. Or some as I have hope again today. But this thing is happening now. So my suggestion is that as a university group or as a group, if we could take that as a very, very burning priority to counteract, or not to counteract, but to bring something positive to that question, which has not been, I wish there would have been such a beautiful presentation on housing together with structure, including the whole thing. It has not happened. And because it has not happened, it's open for any type of development and development.
So I would like to put that into our context from what we have been learning through our approach to understanding various things. I think that one thing that I've learned recently about Oroville is that something like the line of force concept has more dimensions than the architectural dimension. And we tend to be drawn to this galaxy picture with this line of force and to think of it as an architectural line. But if we think about the residential zone, not as a zone, but as a place for habitation, the real question is, how can we, the Oroville, the developing Oroville community, provide habitation for the evolving human being? There has to be a force of consciousness in the realm of habitation. The idea of a residential zone is a symbol. There has to be, obviously, residences and a place where people can live optimally. The international zone is a place for diverse cultures to interact meaningfully to discover the way forward for humanity. It's not an architectural line. The idea of an industrial zone represents the fact that this community must have an economic base, that there must be a reality of production and commerce and economy. When we think about the economy group as a kind of accounting service, but planning for the economy of Oroville and manifesting it as a line of force is quite different from being an accountant service or building a building, either one. And so in Oroville, we are not yet gripped by the reality of Oroville's economic development and Oroville's global cultural development. You know, we're more gripped by whether we go to this putus or that putus, and you know, whether there are enough people working in the economy service to distribute the maintenance. So I think we could beneficially bring to the platform the question of residential development, and that it's very, very essential. And the question of the cultural, educational development is very significant. The first question is, can we find a way to create an orientation to these problems that's creative and productive and true for all of us? I think that's the question that we need to raise in this forum.
Yeah, I'm pondering on how to go about that collectively, because the process of dream catching or of how to connect an intuitive knowledge and bring it through down through the different layers of our being into manifestation, I think many people in our will are familiar with that process and have experienced it individually, especially not only the people who work in the creative fields or artists, architects, anybody who works with conceptualization and visioning and has to bring something down. Now for me, I think what possibly what I hear the dream captures the geograph for 2 years, that there is actually a combination of that process in a collective part. How can we, for instance, even in the town hall, for instance, have meetings or places where we can catch that, and how does it come down? It's a process basically of the vertical. And the horizontal then interferes very strong. So I think because you met, for instance, in the morning, you catch something, you have something, and the horizontal process is still soft, it's regulated, it's contemplative, it's meditative, and through that one, a weaving can start, actually. Yeah? And for me, the question is how, in a usual setups and work meetings and presentations, how to bring that quality into the collective body. For instance, take the challenge of housing or habitation, as you said, and to have it in an open gathering. And I think this is one way the also function of this group possibly. Just work with, you mentioned it also, very much big factor is collective consciousness, group consciousness. What is it? You know, that even a guest or a person who is apparently just spontaneously there might have something very valuable to contribute. And I think if we manage slowly more exercise like in the collective, I mean, of course it goes well in smaller groups, and I think many people experience that in smaller groups, how to bring it over that critical mass of such a large gathering. And that possibly then actually is for us the entry into spherical consciousness. So I understand, how to say visually, what is integral consciousness? It's how that would it present itself in space? It's a spherical consciousness, right? And you need to have the two axes clarified.
Would you like to do first?
Yeah, you put out the question here, and I don't know if I have the answer, but I've been in different groups, and once I tried it, we were 50 persons together, and actually it was possible to come into that space together, and the simple use of meditation, you know, you sit down, start. I very often also when I have meetings, you know, start with a simple meditation, maybe just 3 to 5 minutes, so that every people that comes from different places and are stressed, you know, you come into a certain common level. And sometimes also during the meeting, it can be very useful, you know, when the things is fired up, to just say, could we take just 2 minutes? And then you will also feel that the level of the discussion can go deeper. I don't know, maybe you use that already, but I think very often when we are many people, we forget those things that we are doing in small groups. We just start, blah, 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 and then we already are in this other level to meet each other from. So I can say I have very good experiences, also with bigger groups, with starting from that point. And also in the middle, and also, like in Dreamcatcher, you end the session also with a kind of meditation. So.
Because we practice that in this forum also. In this forum, we also practice exactly that system.
Yeah. But he asked in the bigger, you know, it's possible, and I think it's.
And it's usually this big of a group.
Yeah.
And it always works well.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that much of the methodology, I think, is universally accepted. I think that the question that we're raising is more what would be the most fruitful topic?
This question could be part of such a.
Yeah, and that's it is
yes.
Right now. That is the topic right now, because we had originally thought that. We were interested in pursuing the international zone question because we have an educational focus, and because we're located here at the start of the international zone, and it's relevant to us in different ways, many ways. But the question of habitation is also a very potentially fruitful one.
That's come under. You see, for me, when I raised that question of this meeting 10 days ago when we spoke of the city, I've been living in Paris all my life, and Paris or London or New York are cities which are almost open university. You just walk in the street and you learn. So the residential is not separated from education. It should be something where you learn, either by the shape of the building or the way people live or the gardens or the way the children. it's that's what I'm sick of the present situation already, that you have like parking zones for residents. They are gated and we don't know what is happening. They are outside and we don't learn anything. And they don't learn anything. So it's very important to link the two, to residents and learning and education are really, actually you are learning. I know that I was in Japan for 6 months and I learned for 6 months in my room of 3 meter by 3 meter. There was always something to learn. So it's connected. It's very essential. And that's what makes a city. A city makes, it's something where you learn. It's not like a mass of buildings. There is a joy in invention, in creativity, in new things. And that's what I've been missing.
I seem to feel a thread in this. My response, especially to the Crown Road presentation, was that the visuals started with the core. Here are the lines of the Mahatma. Here's the kind of points right at the center. And then when you asked your question, well, how does this happen? I thought, well, that's how it happens. Go back to the core. In not in an architectural way or in a visual way, but in some other way, which is pretty much what Norma was saying. And also what Aurelio was talking about. Going to the core and finding the center. And then everything is built on that, or built around that, or built because of that. And so a discussion about residence or about the international zone would also benefit from that. Like Peter said, well, what is ortho? Or like Rod was talking about, what does residence mean? What kind of a line of force is that, or economy, or so on? So it goes back to the core of what Oroville is, and then flows out of that. Then it seems like it goes, whoa, aha, like it was my experience in watching the presentation.
The beauty of this presentation was that it took already several approaches to this issue. It wasn't only one architectural issue. There were new dimensions coming up, like, for example, psychological, what is that called?
Psychography.
It's an interesting word, concept, to see how we psychologically live and move in this space. What happens to us? To envision that, to put it on yourself as a human being and the human beings together. This is the beginning of new thinking. I think we have to add dimensions to that. Psychography is one dimension. Most probably there will be other, I don't know, philosophy, there will be linguistography, and there will be artistic and so on. Approaches will add to the ways of receiving the intuition. Now, intuition comes in our will so much. We all get it, but we do not have forms and languages really to accommodate it. So, you were lucky to have a feedback point, as well, to put it, a ground on which you could project it. So, on that ground, you can receive it. You can translate it into the language of your layout. But sometimes you receive other intuitions which you can't really find language for. Mm. And it is there, but you do not know what it is. There is no really way to translate it into mental terms. Now, that is where we are as a university coming in. We are interested to find these different approaches to knowledge, to this integral paradigm. What a human being actually needs. Be fully developed as an individual in all universal terms. And the city and
application of the city, building of the city, is our ground. So we can really see it as an exercise of that particular way, as Pierre was saying, it's an educational project, first of all. And that is my first message, yes, which I would like to really kind of invite you to learn with us and learn from you, yes, learn together to find different approaches to this particular issue, where we could really widen and enrich ourselves through this. I saw it is possible today. I saw in your presentation it becomes possible. The other thing was very interesting, what I would like to just say, that the difference between mental and physical is quite big. One thing, what we see and what we need in mental development is one part. What is happening on the ground is completely another thing. That difference has to be noticed, or how to say, has to be clear for all of us. Yes? Because the beauty of your presentation was that the galaxy plan was taken symbolically, was taken as, not literally, not physically, but mentally, as a yantra, as a key to understand how forces have to work. Psychologically and otherwise. In that sense, of course, the best example is Artha Shastra itself, and I mentioned it several times. And I wanted even to speak about this to Roger, but he died.
What itself?
Artha Shastra.
Artha Shastra.
Artha Shastra speaks about how to build the city. I'm sure you would be interested to look into that issue when I just tell you now. So it is said how key he is to build his capital, and all the dimensions are given there. So one Russian scholar tried to put it on paper, and he discovered that it is not matching on paper. It doesn't come into the physical reality. It's impossible to do that, what is said there. But it is said if the king knows that city is to be built in this way, he will build a successful city. The whole section was not matching at all, nowhere. There was no place for it. What a puzzle. Now, the conclusion was very interesting. This scholar made, he said that the difference between mental, yantric approach, you have to know it to build it as such, in this way, and building as such, there is a difference between the two. There is a whole vital plane which is separating mental and physical, which will make corrections on the way, necessary to build this. But the attitude has to be of that kind. Now, I saw yantra, our galaxy plan, as a yantra, as an approach, as a mental vision, which will permit you build the right city. And today I saw it as possible. Just today I saw that you use that exactly to apply it into the physical reality, changing it accordingly, but how to say, referring to that meaningful vision of new energy and variety, and it should not be only linear. At the same time, it has to be linear. It has to be pointing to the center, and at the same time, it has its own curve. It has its own dimension, many-dimensional movement, and also it was symmetrical and it was clear at the same time. So this multi-dimensional way of requires more dimensions also for you to be enjoying this creation and for us to be enjoying to live in this creation together. So if we could explore it, that would be for us a very educational. Thank you.
I think it's interesting to your question also, this connection with an overhead kind of vision, which gets translated into a model, an architectural model. It's the way music works also. And we have been associating harmonics and music and architecture as a way of understanding. We need to be clear about those relationships. And then, one more thing, what Vladimir suggests is that once you have somehow understood how to formulate in a spatial pattern a concept, then you meet the challenge of the vital translation. And this takes place between human beings through time. The final translation doesn't happen inside us. It happens among us, between us. And how to make that energy translate that higher concept which got translated mentally to be translated onto that next plane of life is something to learn, for us to learn. It's not the standard corporate approach.
I think the dreamcatcher approach that allowed the space to give the chance of time, taking the time and the space to talk about topics. It's something that we should try, as everybody agreed, to implement it in other group of working people. I thought that if Lavinia was here, it would be sort of an option for them to understand that even the architects of Oroville, whom we know as being having office for years in architecture, you don't have always the time and you don't allow yourself the space to get to create. You're sitting in the office, running other people's jobs, and running other people's time and give them things to do. And you don't take yourself the space to absorb. If, like the entry group, that they have criteria how people get to Oroville, we could somehow, I mean, the Dreamcatcher should suggest as a tool to work for all the architects, maybe they should do it as a regular thesis in their designing process to meet every week in the morning and just allow themselves the space to listen, talk, and maybe to receive. Now, once they start to receive, maybe, hopefully, the approach will be in a different level. But they have to allow themselves that process, because if you run, and don't stop, the result is what you get. Sort of very questioning the quality. So, I don't know how to suggest it to, I mean, we can't force anybody, of course, but in order to get better results, of course, we do need to approach them with some kind of a other way of creating. And it's, as I said, like the entry group has his criteria, who can be an Orwellian, or what it makes it to become an Orwellian. Maybe Lavinia should say, all the architects of Oroville should somehow attend sort of a working group of architecture that will emerge them to get the space for themselves. And less ego, as we know, because for creation you need a lot of ego, but you need a lot of creation. I mean, you need a lot of receiving from the right place.
As it stands now, as my experience is that there are always these two these two mindsets, I can say, or maybe mentalities. The one process-oriented, the other, I mean, very simple and product-oriented. And the argument of the product people is always the process takes too much time. My experience is that when you avoid the process, you take more time. Mm-hmm. And the whole world is limping behind because of that, in the quest of time of time factor. I'm saying that not exclusive, because one needs a goal also, one needs timetables, and one needs, what to say, a flag post, most of us, but to put down such a process which is more integral and more networking, not PowerPoint, networking. You create hundreds of PowerPoints and they never meet and the mess goes on. This is my words now. And this is a learning process which can only spread by example. That means for the process people, I say now again very simplified, to believe in your own long-lasting process with patience, come with results, and they're speaking for themselves, because the other results break down. This is my conviction. I see it every day. It's cracking down. It's not coming to any fruit for in the collective realm. In the individual, you can always push forward, but not then.
If I just respond to it, yeah, it's the two times I presented the Crown Ways in MNC auditorium, it went very well and it was a very positive response. And this time it was University of Human Unity. The time before we called a session, it was called actually by a number of people because they wanted us to show it to the International Advisory Council. When it was presented in the conference room, it was invited, we invited the other dream catchers who hadn't been around for a while, plus all the architects, to present them now the Crown Ways and say, look, what do you think? Can we integrate your feedback, please? And anybody who wants to join and take part, please, you're welcome. And what completely threw me was the response of two people to say, this is completely useless. What use is this to Oroville? Why don't you do something more practical? You know, and I didn't expect that response. I could have taken anything else. Responded to any kind of input and well, couldn't you have tried this or couldn't you have tried that? Yeah, sure, okay, whatever. But this is useless. And I stood there like, wow, okay, that's an approach.
Useless.
How can we integrate an approach?
Well, yeah, how can I integrate an approach of this is useless? I don't know what to do with that. Actually. And in a further discussion afterwards, I found out it was more, maybe they hadn't, because I felt what we were showing was quite practical in the sense that as buildings come, you integrate it and, whatever the community decides is required, I'm still waiting for the day that the bakery finally moves to the centre of town, then it will be there somewhere, and the person was saying, I need to know where I go and get my croissant, where do I have my breakfast, where do I do this, where do I do that? And when I explained that we're trying to reinvigorate people's belief in what Oroville could be to create that foundation to move on together. Because the problem is if you go too quickly in the details, you just start arguing about the details. But if you can give an impression, give a taste of a collective vision that we can all aspire to, then I'll tell him where he's going to go and buy his croissant in the morning in 6 months' time, or whenever. But when you say, yes, the architects should be invited to take part, great, it's an open forum. They've been invited since 2.5 years.
Yeah,
but
don't come.
Well, what to do?
So maybe they shouldn't allow to... It's not a governmental thing or ruling. It's just a criteria. I mean, who is allowed to create an army? I mean, you have to take some kind of a process for that. It's like...
But who's deciding?
Who is deciding the entry group? What are the rules? How many years it takes you to be an Norwegian? And what are the implements of being an Norwegian? That you donate your time to this and to that and to that, and that you become a Norwegian. So, this somehow, Lavinia, as it sits on the higher pyramid, should set up a rules of what does it mean for an architect to make a building in Norway. Because what is the difference between us as an architect to other people, architects around the world? We are all individual, we are all offices, some good, some more experience, but we have to make a difference here. What is the difference? We should try and make a process of the whole thing. And we should allow a space to all these people who are working very hard.
I want to respond also.
It's like this is too many things, but it's interesting. I think there's a lot of scope when I feel quite excited, but, you know, with this amount of people and this energy, if, you know, we could take the next step, because we've been very careful in being catchers to not go too fast. You know, it was difficult. It was difficult to say no. And in the beginning, we were tempted. And when we started working, and people came with proposals, and can you do this? Can you do this? And we said we felt if we would immediately start executing things, it would be the end. We need time to be the visioning process. And I like this mental, vital, physical, and family, because what came to me was that we always said that the physical is just, for us, it's a byproduct. What we saw today, the Grammys or whatever, the studio, whatever happened, was just a byproduct. It wasn't the aim, it wasn't the goal. And I think that's very important to remember, that it's the process which is opening these levels and above, or, you know, and maybe below, who knows. And then this other part just happens. And I think that's why when we, it's very, I think our will is too diverse to say, you know, this is the only way. We should leave doors open for all kinds of workings within Oroville. And I always, we have very often faced it, you know, it's like dream catchers is for a certain, like Peter was saying, the doers and the process and the product-oriented people. And I don't think that we cannot put them in levels and say this is better, this is worse. I think Oroville is about the process in different ways. We are doing one process, but the other processes are valid. They need it. Everybody is going through their own process. And I think the fact that we come together at this point in Oroville and we trying this, for us this is valid and this makes sense and we can take it to the next level, but we have to leave the door open for other things as well, because they're always, that's the diversity of human unity, diversity. We cannot have, so that has to be very, I feel it's very important to remember that all the time. And not, and also if we want to start a process together, I just wanted to say it needs time and it needs commitment and it needs, there's no hurry, we have time. I know that there is a pressure, time pressure. There's always been time pressure from the moment we started, and even before, it was always like, you have to do something, you know. But I think if we allow this time, if we say, no, we have the time, we have the space, and we create that space, then we're more productive, and we're more allowing things to come. So if we start a process at such a larger level, which would be very challenging, because we always felt for the dream catchers it was a small group, and we were always open, but it's still a different energy. And already in the studio we experienced when we had like 14 plus 6, so we were 20 people, and it was already good. So let's see how this goes. If you're ready to experience it and take it forward, it's again unknown. But it has a lot of potential. When I hear all the different perspectives present here, it's just amazing what we can do with it in the right spirit.
Just a few words. First, I'd like to thank you for your presentation, because I was feeling more intelligent, more creative, and all what you offered us to me made a lot of sense. So I like to be in such situations.
That's education.
So I've been educated. Okay. I think we speak about two models. You know, certainly know the model of the Babel Tower building, and well, nothing happens because they are in doing. Everyone has his own idea about what should be done. And then there's the Pentecostal model, and we've been speaking about this meaning coming down, opening up to higher meanings, no? And I think each time people gather in circle and open up to something higher, the higher meaning just happens, like a phenomenon, and brings meaning. And I'm very happy to be here to share this opening up to through silence and through being in the process instead of being in the building and opening up to this presence in silence. And I think it just happens now. This is what I wanted to share with you.
I would like to offer a possible synthesis because, of course, in the dialectic we have to differentiate between the polarities of process and product. I think the possibility of, and I think in the community also, of harnessing intent. What means to work with intent? Intent is a synthesis of the things. It's an attitude, it's an approach, it's an aspiration, let's say like aspiration, and with an aspiration I'm quite fixed and pointed on something, yet at the same time it's completely open what is happening step by step. And I think also in the process of manifestation, if the yantra, if on a mental level or on an intuitive level, we have a clear image, so how to bring it through the vital is if the intent in manifestation is clear. And I enjoyed it so much in the presentation, the layeredness that you build up from the ground. I wanted to count it. In the middle of it, I was sorry that I didn't count how many layers were done to that slide. They could only manifest those layers because there was a kind of like a clear image and vision, and I say intent there. That's why it could build up and it manifested the product at the end. And I want to share something, I don't know if it's special for you. Yesterday, an experience, I talked with a guest, an Indian astrologer who is living in London, and something very beautiful. We have in our will, we have the galaxy imprint. It's there with us. That imprint comes from a different dimension, and it's translated here as an architectural model, but it gives us basically the direction to go. That person yesterday, we talked about imprints from a different dimension into our realities here, and he showed me some pictures and videos of those concept of phenomena, and I asked why is it happening only in South England specifically. He said because of ley line crossings, and it's a specific node or portal on the planet, as I believe Arabil is one. Now, very beautifully, he was there to inspect one of the concerts, and there was a cave there. So three people went into that cave, and just it's because he's of Indian origin, they experimented with chanting Om after they've been out in the sun. They chanted Om. 7 hours later, there was the biggest concert last year in a big shape of an Om. And you know, those concerts, they manifest in a few minutes. Crop circles, yeah? And in one way, it was so beautiful to see, as it's also how you explain it. He said, we didn't even think, but there was an inspiration. There was just a centeredness there, calling for something, or not even. They didn't call for a concert or something, but the focus was there, and it happened, how to say, within a... And I think in our way, for instance, in relationship to housing or something like this, if we learn as a collective to set clear intents, set the vision, and I'm so grateful that you helped us, for instance, to see a small segment of the galaxy ready in one way. And if that image is clear with us, if we see habitation, how are we living in this transformation, if each one of us has a clear image, that's what we need, this is our environment we need for doing, being within this transition, that will help the housing to manifest.
Silence with that last intention.
Of course, you continue this next Saturday. We're not done.
Well, and Peter has a presentation.
And the dream catchers
come. Yeah, dream catchers come. We can continue then the discussion.
the discussion, the catching.
I think everyone understands.
Shall we start again at 9? Instead of we sort of evolve into 9 versions.
We meet here. Is it all right to meet here? Or do you need to have the...
No, also, I would need the question of Paradiso again, or how do we do it?
It's when we meet before, necessarily we go into a presentation to be talking before.
So the process... No, the point for me is it better to have a totally free flow of... Dreamcatcher's kind of session on the international zone, which would be independent of whatever I may say, or should I bring whatever material I have in digital to stimulate the topic?
What is it that you want to show up the else?
Yeah, there was one part I showed already. It's a development of the history of the visioning of the international zone. I find it still very interesting to see how differently one can express a vision and how different visions may be. And then I have a film on a seminar which was held here in the international zone in 2002, which is like half an hour. I find it interesting because it shows in what kind of environments and one can work with such a topic or other topics. And
in the light of what we discussed today, now I think we're kind of, to me it feels as if we're not really taking into account what happened right now.
Focus is outside of space and time. If we may call it the international zone, but what we know that it actually is the mother's vision of a new global consciousness. And that comes down into a mental translation at some point. And at another point, it's translated into human interaction and manifestation. And finally, it becomes a physical structure. And if we have people running around trying to build physical structures, that obviously, or vital structures, is the upside down manner. If we're really going to try to institute a top down transformational mode of operation, then we first have the point of focus, which is outside of time and space. And I think it makes a very little difference at this point whether we call it organization, habitation, or culture. The point of focus gives us an opportunity to receive something. So do you see what I'm saying, Peter? Mm-hmm. If we choose to take habitation or culture as a point of focus, organization and the others are part of that.
Yeah, that's what I was saying myself now.
But I think the significant thing is that we move forward with a kind of practice that can eventually, hopefully, communicate itself to other structures in Oroville. It's not only Lavadir to Oroville, but it's every structure in Oroville, which is obstructing.
Actually, I used to call those groups blocking groups.
So if
block-making
groups? Blockheads.
So we had made a conscious decision some months back not to start trying to tackle directly the organizational structures or the planning structures or whatever, but to really start discovering another process of transmission.
The only way.
Yeah. Why we are doing this? Yes. The other people are doing that.
It's okay.
It will come though.
Other people are disturbed from the situation, so I'm trying to.
Yeah.
No, because while we are sitting and thinking and having space and beautiful stimulation from all these beautiful groups, other people are doing.
So we just have to expand our.
And the history is full of these examples.
Let's have one more week.
we've already experienced the viral nature in a positive way of dream catching.
Yes.
Every time it gets the circle expands. Mm-hmm. And you know what you're doing here in the University of Human Unity, it's an expanding field.
Yes.
And at a certain point a critical mass is reached where enough Orovillians wake up to the possibility of another reality and stand up and say, now this, not that. Or now this, not that. And it will just, because you won't do it through fighting. If you fight, then the other forces entrench and struggle back. Whereas you have to, it's just a question of transformation, I believe.
My suggestion wasn't for fighting, it was to bring that group to that one and allow them both a lot of time.
Yes.
Because some of us take our time, but some of them are running. Now, let them have the time. But we have to force them to take the time. Because otherwise, they don't have the time.
We learn to force them.
So,
you have also no time.
Force is a bad word, I know.
So
but somehow, we have to suggest.
Okay. So, we'll move forward in a timely manner. And should we have our session next Saturday at 6 o'clock? And then could
no,
we?
No, on Wednesday.
Saturday.
Yeah, why not? Saturday. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever
we
could have.
Yeah.
That's a great
tool,
Saturday morning.
Yeah, if you want to meet Saturday morning at 9 or 12:30 and Saturday morning from 6 to 8, then you're
going
to be in.
I was just going to say that
okay.
we could meet at 6 o'clock. Then we could have breakfast at Town Hall or someplace. And then maybe meet for an hour of processing. And leave at 10 o'clock instead of leaving at 12.
Mm-hmm.
We could just move everything to the top of the day.
What we've also found in Dreamcatcher, we often go for breakfast together and actually love things touch.
Yeah.
In the breakfast itself, a lot of things touch.
Right, exactly. And then I think it would be good to come back and process also a little bit in the morning, if we can manage to do it.
But I would suggest that since it's the University of Human Unity and you are in the Unity Pavilion, I would suggest, as pressing as the residential habitation side of it is, the first session, since that's your theme and that's your topic, I would focus maybe on that just to see. Because you've been focused on that for the last 6 months in different ways, and I would let... That would be my suggestion, but we can do anything.
Now that's a good one. I think that's a synthesizer.
I suppose that the dream catchers are very punctual, right?
I'm trying to be.
6 o'clock means what? 5 plus 6?
You could come whenever you want.
No, that's not true. We do try and be punctual because you start at 6 o'clock, and there are people who occasionally come after we've started, and if they're not there for the chant and the meditation and whatever, then you miss that.
Let's shoot for 6 o'clock.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate punctuality.
And also that people stay at the end if possible. That's the nice thing in the morning, people don't have excuses to go away.
It should be possible that everybody bring some fruit, some bread, and that we have breakfast together.
The bakery's not open that early.
Too early to get
the bakery's not open.
Too much organization. Somebody will have to organize.
Well, if we don't stop now, some people are going to miss lunch.
Okay. I suggest this group is called the Dream Catchers from outside, but from inside we could call ourselves the 100 Monkeys.
There you go.
The critical mass, you want to reach the critical mass.
Oh, yes. The other 100 Monkeys? For me. For the 100 Monkeys.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I won't be here next week. I'll be in France. I internationalized. I get up at midnight to co-dream catch.
And Wednesday, where is it on Wednesday, Peter?
Nowhere.
No, we can still do our session.
I would suggest to myself to make another one on the same topic on Wednesday. And wind it up somehow.
On your topic, on the topic.
On this topic, leadership. And then let's somehow consciously maybe to roll it together.
So anybody who would like to come to the normal dream catching session, please give Peter your email, and he'll put you on the list, and you'll find out when and where it is. Well, it's 26 o'clock, but where it is on Wednesday morning, if you want to come to that as well.
And that could be done also here,
You would have to ask Noel. I mean, okay. I've had one session, I guess so, but Noel is the caretaker. He has a little room out there. So let me ask, let's just ask. Mm-hmm.